Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
You know, I was the underdog when I asked my wife out on a date.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
He's a weapon. Stability is the key in any situation.
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri. I'm joined here alongside
Emma Todd.
Now, Emma, it is 8 in the morning on Saturday, so hope everyone's having a great Saturday. We're here to recap the past week in Arabian sports. Hasn't been much action recently. We're in like a transition period between the fall and winter sports. So we'll start with football, mainly what we're going to talk about here today. The Arabians stand at 10-1. I don't know the last time they got 10 wins in a season. It's been a very long time. I believe 2010, 2011 range. Exciting things at Pendleton Heights.
Absolutely. They definitely have been on a good winning streak. And that's definitely helping their season out a lot.
Yeah, officially 6 in a row after the win last night against Greenfield Central. It's just a lot of exciting things. They played Greenfield Central early in the year. 43-14 is the final score of that game. And then last night, they were able to shut them out 45-0, I believe.
I believe so.
It's so difficult to play a team twice and beat them again the second time. And not only did they beat them, did they handle business. I told Max after the game, like, Greenfield Central had one memorable play. It was the very first play. Cooper Hinton took it for like 15 yards, maybe a little bit more. Other than that, I couldn't tell you a thing they did other than, you know, the two interceptions they threw. They had a fumble or two. Small mistakes like that threw away the game. And, you know, a freshman quarterback in drastic moments in a sectional round two game is not who you want at the helm. But he didn't – typically this year he hadn't done enough to lose the game, and that's what happened last night at Pendleton.
Yeah, I think they definitely just made, like you said, like a bunch of little tiny mistakes that definitely costed them a game. And – with a freshman at quarterback, that's, like, still very impressive for, like, what he did, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked a lot this week. Of course, we did a fun pregame show, if you watched the live stream. I guess you can go to YouTube and see it now. About Greenfield Central's, they kick off, and their defense against the team returning it has not been strong this year. Ahead of that game, Pendleton Heights, Mount Vernon, as well as Beech Grove, had returned a kickoff against them. And they had two kickoffs against Pendleton Heights. The first one on homecoming, it was a touchdown wide. Elijah housed it. And then the second one was an onside kick later in the game because they didn't want to kick it to them. And then last night, you're guaranteed one kickoff a game, either at the start of the game or at halftime. Greenfield Central got it at halftime, and Talon Foster took it back to the house. I wanted to say I predicted it, but it was super obvious. I don't know. It's surprising that teams don't have everything nailed down ahead of the postseason, but I guess just wasn't their year.
Yeah, you can definitely see that they really struggled with that throughout the year. And so they definitely just started doing what was the safer option, like for halftime and everything.
Yeah, definitely the safer option. But, you know, sometimes he doesn't have the leg to avoid a kickoff. Does Memphis Blevins, the kicker for Greenfield Central, 3 career touchbacks. So kind of didn't have a choice. You know, at some point you got to send it that way. And, you know, you're down, I believe, 28 at halftime. You know, you're not trying to give them really good field position to walk down and score like they've been. This Arabian offense is built on explosive plays over 20 yards. And, you know, you give them 40 yards to work, and they're going to take it quick.
Definitely. They're definitely going to give or take what you give them. So I definitely think that was a big thing last night.
Yeah, you bring a good point there with taking what they give them. This is a team, teams that have success, especially later in the season, into November, you give them an inch, they take a mile. And that was last night's game 100 times over. Pendleton Heights didn't turn the ball over. There wasn't a lot of, I think they had 2 penalties the whole game. Just not a lot of ugly plays. They limited the bad ones, and it was all Pendleton Heights through 4 quarters.
Yeah, they definitely focused in and just made sure that they won. I think that was definitely a big thing for them last night, and they got it done.
Yeah, and, you know, with that, they punched their ticket to the sectional championship for the second time in a row. I told Max last time that had happened, back-to-back sectional championship appearances, was 2010-2011, where they were able to win them. So, you know, got to be excited here if you're a Pendleton Heights fan. It's at home. the last time Coach Richmond said something at the end of the broadcast was, I don't remember exactly, but it was a long, like the 90s almost. Mm-hmm. So the chance that Pendleton Heights has to get to play this at home, I hope everyone turns out, and I hope it's the best game ever. And Yorktown has been the best game Pendleton Heights has seen all season. It was a 24-20 win, and Yorktown really drove them to the end.
They definitely did. They definitely stuck with it, and they were both fighting for that win.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that game. It is going to be posted on social media 100 times. Like, this is game of the week. Everyone pay attention to this. There's a lot of blowouts in round two of sectionals across state. And, you know, this is kind of the time, round one, round two, where those teams get weeded out. Maybe they got a bye, so they're yet in round two. But, I mean, just slowly teams are getting weeded out. And now only two stand in sectional 21, excuse me. And then for the Hoosier Heritage, it's just Yorktown, Pendleton Heights, and NewPal. Obviously, NewPal in 5A, so no one can knock them out in the Hoosier Heritage. But I don't know. A lot of exciting things in football you're going to want to see. It's must-see football at this point. I have a quote from Coach Richmond in my email, so I remember it. The teams you play in November, you will remember. Something along the lines of that. It's 8. I'm tired. But you get the lines. Now we're to the point. It's must-see football.
It is. And this week is going to be a lot of good football to watch. Like, just definitely with the teams like that are playing. I don't exactly know, but they're going to be very, like, great lineups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll touch on girls basketball while we're here, of course. They had a game planned earlier for next week. I believe maybe Thursday exactly. That one was against Hamilton Heights. It ended up getting moved all the way to January. Volleyball's kind of coinciding with it for Hamilton Heights and other schools. So that's why that game got pushed back all the way to January. So their first game, season opener, will be at Pendleton Heights against Westfield. Me and Emma are actually on that game. So the 8th, exactly a week from today. So, I mean, girls basketball season's in full swing. A little recap of their season last year. They had a tremendous regular season. They went on a huge win streak going into the postseason. They were able to knock off Anderson as well as Mount Vernon and then win a sectional title for the first time in a very long time and then punch their ticket to a regionals game where they were once in the third quarter, they were up 13 over the eventual state champions and they ended up knocking them off. It was a game down to the wire and Lawrence North ended up winning the title at the end of the year. So a very exciting season. They've got a big senior departures in Casey Warfel and other names to mention. And, you know, you're going to hear from Coach Rogers later in this coach's show about that, but they're going to expect a big year over there.
Yeah, they definitely are going to do really well. So, like, with their season last year, I think that they're just going to keep going. Like, they're going to keep making waves, and I think that's a really big thing for them. And they're definitely going to be really good this year.
Yeah, and a lot of it is I love what Coach Rogers is doing with his program. You know, he had a program day pretty recently that we weren't able to get into this interview. This interview is like the longest interview I've gotten of the year, and I still had so much to cover that we didn't address. You know, he's getting the youth involved greatly. He is very confident in his team, thus his schedule is getting harder and harder every year. He booked Carmel and Brownsburg on it this year. Schools that I don't know a sport that Pendleton Heights plays them in. It's girls, but he wants, you see Pendleton Heights on the schedule for girls basketball, you know, oh, this is not going to be an easy game. It's you know, last year it started with teams like Lawrence Central, I believe, maybe it was the first year, maybe the year prior. Slowly the schedule's been getting harder and harder, and now we're taking leaps. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited what they're able to do this year, and, you know, they've got big hopes. You got to defend your title.
Yeah, I definitely think that with their program growing and growing, that their games are just going to keep getting harder, and I think that's really good for the team, and I think that they're definitely going to make an impact this year.
Well, with that, we are going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll sit down with head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond, and break down last night's game. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group. Retirement planning, risk management, and legacy planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001. Or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by S&B Heating and Cooling. Located at 6879 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-4000. 2044, online at sbheatingcooling.com. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined alongside Emma Todd in the studio, head coach of the Arabian football team, Jed Richmond. Coach, big win last night. How you feeling?
Feeling great. It's great to be an Arabian.
All right. So post-game, I talked to Max, and usually, you know, you come up for our interview, and, you know, this year it's been a lot of good games, so you mentioned a lot of the good things, and like, yeah, you know, I saw this, and this that weren't up to par today, and they need to be fixed last week. I don't think you said anything negative in our post-game interview. Why was that?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a dominant performance by the guys, so there's obviously things to work on. I've been watching film all morning, and there's some things we got to clean up, but to beat a Greenfield team, you know, they scored twice in the fourth quarter on us in the first game, but I mean, to put 88 points up or whatever it was in two games is, you know, normally they bounce back, and there's at least a different competition level, and our guys just didn't let them. I mean, they just absolutely did not let them, and it started with the defensive line from, I know they, Hinton made a heck of a play on the first play. That was all him. We bottled it up, and he just found a sliver of hope in there, and he broke it out. But our effort and our pursuit got him. But I was really proud of the physicality we played with, the discipline we played with. As the game went, there was a lot of stupidity happening out there, and the refs had it under control, but it was we didn't retaliate, and it was just I was really proud of them.
So last time, like you said, we played Greenfield Central, and they scored 14 in the fourth quarter. Last night was a shutout. What do you think really went differently for our team?
We didn't let up, and we suffocated them. I mean, it didn't matter who was out there. It didn't matter what situation. Guys are making plays. I mean, we created four turnovers. The ball was on the ground more than that, but we had four takeaways. They had two big plays. They had the run, and then they had the pass play early on across the middle. Outside of that, they didn't do much all night long because of how the guys played. And it was a good team. It was good team defense. I mean, you know, it just was good stuff. So, we controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Very physical, no matter who was running the ball. So just all the way around, it was between the ears. And we were just a little stronger mentally.
Do you think this team's getting more cohesive as the game goes on? I feel like, you know, I call everyone's name every Friday night, and it's like, all right, early in that game, I called Michael Emish. Haven't called his name in a good minute.
Yeah.
Everyone's starting to make appearances, and that game was truly suffocating.
Yeah, I think Michael Emish, Jake Eldridge was the guy in the backfield real quick last night, McKinley, I thought, played really well, and Eli Poor. I mean, we rotated five or six guys in there, and, the outside backers did a good job. And so, like Michael did a lot of unselfish things, taking on double teams. And in fact, his jersey's ripped this morning. So, there's a kid who maybe doesn't have the stats that Kiesling has leading us in production. But at the same time, he did his job. And that's the stuff I was talking about throughout the week. There's going to be guys that do their jobs really well. Colton Johnson on offense, you know, and special teams, his effort, his energy. Those are the guys that, that may not show up in the stat books, but they're a huge part of that win.
So last season, Pendleton Heights, their season like ended in the sectional championship. Do you think the players have more motivation this year?
Yeah, I mean, we've been there and done that. The guys, the unfinished business, slogan is true to life. You know, it's hard to get back here. It's hard to get to the championship in any sport. In football, it's 3 weeks long. A month from today is the state championship. So we are, next Friday, we're halfway to the state championship. That's what a lot of people don't realize when you get to the to the sectional, you are you're right there knocking on the door. Like, you got some big, big hurdles to get through and some really good teams to get through. But getting to this point and beating two teams that I don't care what their records are, to beat a team twice is really difficult to do. And our guy, it's mental. I said that after the Shelbyville game. Like, when you play a team twice and you got to beat them, you gotta be mentally tougher than them. Like, they knew what we were going to do last night. We knew what they were going to do last night. There's a little wrinkle here or there, but there were no gimmicks, or there was just flat out blocking and tackling, and we did it more aggressively, and we attacked. That's proud of the coaches for how they coached them, proud of the leaders, how they led, and the role players, and everybody did their job last night. Sideline was electric, you know. Love to get the crowd more involved, but there's a championship on the line next week, so hopefully we can get some people on their feet, and I'm excited. Hopefully we can pack Broughton Field.
So with this moniker of unfinished business, it, in my idea, sets a odd precedent, because, like, yes, that is our business. We want to get back there. We want to right that wrong.
Yeah.
Say you win next week. Business isn't finished.
Right. Oh, no.
How do you continue that and make sure these players stay on it and know, hey, business isn't really truly finished?
Same way. I mean, I think that our expectations, were to get back here. It's really hard to do. You know, and if you look at our history, you know, we won 10 games. It's the first time in a long time, and it's only the fourth time in school history. So these guys, every step along the way, are really making a mark for themselves. You know, I told the guys, Steve Spurrier has a great quote this week, and I used it: what we achieve in life is directly proportionate to what we attempt to do. Well, we've been attempting to do this since last year at this time. And these guys deserve a ton of credit for all the blood, sweat, and tears that they poured into this. And there's a lot that goes into this, but this is just the beginning, is kind of my, to answer your question, this is just the beginning to what we want to do. So, you know, and it's November and we're playing ball. So, you know, the teams that play in November, you always remember. That's the reality of where we're at. You know, basketball always talks about March. Football, it's all about November right now, and it's just one day at a time and one game at a time.
Yeah. So last time there was a round three shutout was 2010. So what does a postseason shutout mean to you and all the players?
Well, just our defense is really good. We're only giving up 11 or 12 points a game. We've been good all year long. You know, if you can hold your opponents to two touchdowns, you got a chance to win anything. And I think we're averaging 37 now. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we want more points than the opponent. And I'm not being a smart aleck. That's what matters now. We've got to attack, and we've got to survive to play another day. I mean, that's the reality. It's win or go home. And now you play for hardware. You know, now you play for trophies. Now you play for you've got a chance. We've been achieving things, you know, and we've been getting better. Man, to shut a team out at this point, and to shut a Greenfield team out, I know they've had a couple this year, but that's a very, very difficult offense to simulate. And our kids, Dane Apple, Hudson Frank, Brock Simon, you know, Colton Johnson, we had a bunch of guys, Brendan Galvin, we had a bunch of guys this week that really put in a lot of extra work to get us prepared, and they sure did.
Do you think, you know, this senior group has been with each other for a while, they're really cohesive, they've seen Greenfield pretty much their whole life, you know, as they've played them, and last year Greenfield had a really strong team, yeah. They know that offense well and can play it now that they've had the time, experience, and know how to play it well, because games on and on, you're only getting better playing Greenfield.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these seniors, I talked about this at the middle school banquet this week, and it's a testament to their resiliency. They didn't win a game as eighth graders. So that's what I'll tell you about. That's what I think of these seniors, you know, toughness, commitment. You know, they are a unique group, obviously talented, but they came together and bought into our demands and our accountability. I think that's the biggest thing with these kids that are still playing with us, that this group of 18 guys, like, they're bought into the accountability. We're not going to let them do what they want to do. We're not going to, they are going to do it a certain way, and that's the Arabian way. And they have led and they have done it in a way that, well, only a few other teams have done in school history. So we've got our best football is still ahead of us, to your point initially, you know, with the critiques. We have not peaked yet. And that's the thing, you know. We're going to do what we always do this weekend. We're going to enjoy this win because it's hard to win games. And it's hard to advance in the tournament. And, but at the same time, like, we're going to enjoy this and then we're going to put it in the rearview mirror and it's on to Yorktown. So
we're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll continue breaking down last night's game and preview that Yorktown matchup. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside Emma Todd in the studio, head coach of the Arabian football team, Jed Richmond. Coach, you punch your ticket to the sectional championship and you got a date with Yorktown. It was the best game of the season against Yorktown. 24-20, you were able to get that win. And they really shut down the rushing game and Joel Weaver, and that caused Brant Gray to take it, I believe, 19 times on the ground.
Yeah.
How do you establish that rushing game against this Yorktown team?
Well, it starts up front. We're going to go as far as the big guys take us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to take what they give us. I mean, it sounds very cliche, but it is. You know, last night it was C.J. Mitchum making big plays. We saw, if you guys were at practice, you'd see him making big plays every day. So him making that touchdown catch last night was not a surprise to me. Brant's accuracy, you know, 9 for 9 last night, not a surprise to me. Guys catching the ball, not a surprise to me. The protection, not a surprise to me. We had a great week of prep, and we got better and better and better, and that's we just have to rinse and repeat. And it doesn't matter who we play. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, obviously there's some it's special going against Yorktown again. I felt like we left a lot of points on the field last time, and, you know, it's the same thing going into this week as I felt last week. And you know, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams, we got to focus on the things that make us good. You know, the best teams live in the present. Coach Jesse talked about to the team this week being where your feet are. But the best teams live in the present. And I think that's essential for our success. And we're not results driven. The results are a byproduct of doing it all the right way. I mean, you guys, you've heard this, you know, in the weight room before, and you know, these guys, they know the process, they trust it, and they live it right now. And we're fortunate that the successes are coming from that. But the process is always the prize, the ride along the way, and what these guys, they're creating memories forever. And I'm just so proud and happy for them. And we got a great opponent this week coming to our place that we got to keep getting better if we want to continue this season.
Last week, Brant Gray went 5 for 8, 73 through the air, a touchdown, an interception. Not in statistically a horrible week, but definitely his worst in that later game stretch. Was there emphasis on him having a bounce back week or just a better week than last time?
No, just efficient. You know, we need to be efficient. We were efficient last night. You know, he's been near 70% all year. You know, I think the thing last week that he was kicking himself for, and that one of the glaring things is we threw it to the other team, you know, he's only done that twice all year, you know, and, He's reading things. This is something that, some offenses like last night, I think they're telling him where to throw it. That's not how our offense works. I mean, that's not how football works. You got to play and you got to read and react. And our quarterbacks do a good job, of identifying. And then, there's a pre-snap, a post-snap, it's one of those things he learned from, obviously, and had a great night. I think last night is a testament to who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He is 5 for 8. I guarantee you the quarterback last night for Greenfield would have loved a 5 and 8 kind of game. You know what I mean? For Brandt, we advance and he goes 9 for 9. So, next week we've got to be better. I don't know what that looks like, but we've got to be better than what we were last night.
Yorktown, we mentioned your toughest matchup in the season. We've seen, now Mount Vernon and Greenfield Central, it's difficult to play a team twice. What do you think you're going to bring to this matchup that's the change from last time?
Hopefully a better start. We got to start fast. I can make all the excuses I want, but obviously they were more jacked up and ready to play than we were. They came out, they caused a turnover and scooped and scored it.
Mm-hmm.
So not good. I mean, it was 10-0, but I felt like we got off the bus and it was 10-0, So, but once we settled down, we scored 24 unanswered. So, I think for us, we've got to get better at the things that we're good at. We've got to attack, some of the things maybe we weren't so good at last time against them. I mean, their defense is really good. And that's the thing about Yorktown. I mean, their defense is really good. We talk a lot about their offense and Tokar and all this and that, and they deserve that. But their defense is what's made them 8-2 or whatever they are. So we've got to do a better job identifying, and they do some different things where they're moving around and they're messing with our communication and stuff. And we've got a plan, and we just need to go practice it really well and execute it. We need a great look again from scout teams. And, so for us, better start, we maybe better special teams. We've had a spark, in all these games as we've gone on this run where special teams has been a factor. Last night it was Talon, long run there to really put the nail in the coffin last night. So, I mean, that's demoralizing. They come out. I don't know what coach told them at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on that other sideline and you think you have a glimmer of hope, right, you're going to get the ball, or you got to play defense, you want to get the ball back, you got to get a stop, whatever they're saying. They kick off to us and we house it. Like, that's just, now it's a running clock, and it's like, oh, man, just took any hope they had out of it. So really proud of Talon for how he responded, because he kind of bobbled the ball there and then went 85 for the touchdown.
Yeah, just looking at this Yorktown matchup, it is so difficult to play a team twice. And, round one, Mount Vernon, everyone in the world seemed to be a lot more okay with that matchup than me. And I truly didn't know why. And in Greenfield, I just didn't have a lot of questions for you because it was a suffocating game.
Yeah.
And this round three matchup, I don't see a reason not to be excited for. There's a lot to look forward to. Your players get another shot. What does it mean to them and you to be home, get another shot at the sectional title, and especially play a really good team in Yorktown?
I mean, any chance you get to play for a championship, I mean, I've been very fortunate to do it. To me, let's get over the hump. That's how I feel about it. You know what I mean? We need to do something we haven't done. What's our next best? That's kind of how we look at it. Coach Trout talked about that at the team dinner on Thursday. It's a great focus point to what can we do better? How can we achieve more now? What can we do next? That takes humility, and that takes motivation. And these guys are humble and they are hungry. And I would say the same thing about Yorktown. They feel like they let one slip away, I'm sure. I can't speak for them, but they're going to come in here extremely confident. Every Yorktown team I've ever seen is extremely confident. And they play with a swagger and an intensity. I think we do too. And it's going to come down to, the physicality of the game and the confidence that we play with and all the things that got us here. We just need to be us.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for this interview, Coach. Hopefully the next time I talk to you, you've got some hardware on your shoulder.
Heck yeah. Go Arabians.
All right. Stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on the Arabian Sports Network. My name is Zion Palmieri. I'm sitting alongside head coach of the Lady Arabian basketball team, Coach Rogers. It's been a while since we talked to you. A long off season. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing really good. Glad to be here and glad for, you know, basketball time to be around.
Yeah, all right. Well, you're entering your fourth year. Last year, you obviously won your sectionals and had a 6-1 record in the Hoosier Heritage Conference, which was enough to win it. I believe you tied with Greenfield. Was that correct?
Mount Vernon.
Sorry.
No, all good.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
With that in mind, what are your goals for this season? You had a lot of seniors graduated and also a really positive year last year. Yeah. So how are you taking last year into this?
We accomplished something, you know, first and foremost that we hadn't done and, you know, almost 15 years with sectional. So, we're really excited to work hard to put ourselves back in a position to get back to, a situation where we can potentially compete for another sectional championship. No more county tournament this year, but we did get ourselves in a pretty good holiday tournament up in Warsaw. Warsaw's the, you know, defending state runner up last year for 4A, have a lot of kids returning. And then there's also some really good teams up there, Columbia City, some teams around Fort Wayne, things like that. So we're pretty excited about that. That's something that we want to be able to compete at and maybe even get a chance to play Warsaw. And then this year, you know, we, in my 3 years, we've either come in second or tied for first, with, the conference. So I think this year, that one of the big goals for this girl is, or these girls for this team is they want to be outright champions. So, those are a couple of the things that we're striving for. And, if we're able to, you know, win another sectional, that would be amazing. But we definitely want to take the next step. Being up 13 to the eventual state champion, Lawrence North Wildcats last year, deep into the third quarter, that still kind of stings. And I think a lot of these girls have thought about that for a long time. So that's kind of things that we're looking towards. We want to compete and see if we can take that next step.
Yeah, obviously, you probably knew it was coming up. Casey Orfel, your senior departure last year. In her 4 years here, she's averaged over 15 each year.
Yeah.
With a lot of teams here, they always tell me, you know, we're not rebuilding, we're reloading.
Yeah.
Is that a similar mindset for the girls' basketball team this season?
I think so. Because I think one of the biggest things is, you know, there have been other girls on those teams that were Casey Orfel led that, the Ada Hupfers, the Olivia Joneses, the Mamie Trouts, the Aubrey Warfels. So, I mean, there's definitely a sense of we're excited to see kids kind of step into new roles, spread their wings, so to speak. But I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, it's not going to be different. Because it is. I mean, that's not somebody that's easily replaceable. Anybody that scores 2,100 points and has that many steals and wins. I mean, I think she almost played 100 games in her career. That's hard to just replace with one person. But again, I think we're excited to see girls step into roles that They've kind of always been, but just expanded, and it'll be different. So we're excited. We've already seen some of those girls start to do that. Ada Huffer had a great scrimmage, very efficient, 18 points. I think she had like 14 or 15 rebounds in very limited time. So again, we're really excited about these girls and the roles that they're going to move into.
Yeah, let's talk about Ada Huffer a little bit. I've been watching over the offseason as she gets offers starting to pour in. There's a lot of eyes on this team now with Huffer, especially at the helm and Casey gone. I'm in football mode still with the football team making the run they are right now. And he always calls it rat poison. Is this rat poison where like you don't want to listen to the people on the outside? Let's just play our basketball. What's that like?
I mean, for sure. I told the Times Post, I told the Herald Bulletin, like, you know, there's a lot of expectations for this team. We're graduating a group of seniors that, you know, accomplished things that hadn't been done in a long time. But you're still returning a lot, and you're returning a player that, you know, some recruiting sources have her as the, you know, number two, junior in the state. She's starting to pick up some Power Four offers and things like that. So absolutely, there's expectations everywhere from myself, from fans, from parents, players, community. But we kind of say the same thing. We just say, you know, tune out the noise, stay focused on us, come in and work hard every day, and stay focused on what we're trying to strive for. So, absolutely. We're going to continue to hear it. I'm sure throughout the season, you know, throughout the grind and the ups and downs, there's going to continue to be noise, but we just got to stay focused on what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, obviously you touched on the county tournament a little bit. We haven't spoken about that. Obviously with the Hoosier Heritage Conference, Delta officially departed today. Well, they announced their departure. What do you make of all these changes in the conference and the county tournament being voided?
Yeah, you know, I think the county, I get it. I kind of don't get it. You know, it's one of those things. I know it's tough in some of those sports. I also know it's tough for some of those county opponents that play a lot of those teams in their conference. They play them in their sectional, and then they play them again in the county. So I understand. I get the perspective. But then again, you know, they joined, I think a majority of those teams joined a holiday tournament together to play. So it's like, you stopped playing one, but then you kind of went and joined together to start another one. So, I get it. I hate it. Because I do kind of feel like it gave kind of that old, you know, one class basketball sectional style. And I hate that it's trickled down now as far to middle school and elementaries and things like that. I think that's tough because that just hurts kids that aren't even really, you know, it shouldn't affect. But, you know, like I said, we got creative. We tried to find some places for us to go, and that'll be something that we probably continue to do. Or, you know, maybe it's a situation where we try to host our own or something like that down the road. So we're working on that. As far as the conference goes, I think when a lot of the exodus started with Shelbyville and Newcastle, and then, you know, the Eastern Crossroads, you know, coming out and things like that, I mean, they said in that initial press release that Delta was invited. I figured that was probably going to be the next, shoe to drop. I think that now leaves us with only five teams. The Southern Four, us, Greenfield, New Pal, Mount Vernon, and the one extremely far north in Yorktown. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to go there. I'm not upset with it. I think all schools should do what's best, you know, what they feel like is best for their student athletes. There's been a lot of talk in the athletic department about, you know, where and what happens with us. And I just, I'm going to, you know, just like I said, for those other schools, I want what's best for, you know, Pendleton Heights student athletes. So, and that's not just girls basketball. That's everybody on the whole. So, you know, I want to have a good decision that's made for, you know, the football program, the softball program, volleyball program, and even some of those individual sports like, you know, tennis, golf, cross country, things like that. I want what's best for Arabian athletics. So a lot to be determined there. We don't know where it'll end up happening. And, you know, we're just all going to have to stay kind of agile on our feet and roll with the punches.
I got to ask, because, I mean, in my position, I want names. I want the clip. I've heard a lot of talks of the parochial schools in, you know, Chittard or Guerin Catholic, maybe a Ron Colley. Who do you think is going to fill that role in your idea for the Hoosier Heritage Conference?
You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have my, you know, my thoughts. I'm always a coach, and this is speaking, you know, specifically for girls basketball. I always want a chance to challenge and compete. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when it comes to girls basketball, I want the best of the best. I don't care so much about wins and losses. I care about my team and my team, no matter the talent, no matter what, being the best that they can be when that state tournament rolls around. So, I mean, we're going to line up against whoever that is, whether it's Ron Colley, Chittard, Brebeuf, Guerin, Cathedral, you know, no matter who it is, we're still going to go out with the same type of preparation and intensity that we play with every game. So, again, a lot to be determined. But I think our conference would get better with any of those four teams.
Yeah. Continue about these new matchups this year. We're going to play Brownsburg likely and Carmel. That was a pretty bold matchup. Yeah. You're obviously very confident and you want to play the best opponents. Do you think the success they had last year kind of helped your girls, you know, we can do this, we can take on this team?
Yeah. And I mean, this is something that, you know, we've been building, you know, for a while now. You know, you said this is year four, and, you know, like I said, my philosophy has always been, I don't care about wins. I don't care if we go in and get thumped by somebody. Like, to me, that's a learning experience. And that's putting yourself in the furnace more often than not. So going and playing an opponent like that, I feel like is going to be more beneficial for us long run than going and playing somebody that, you know, we're going to running clock and it helps your appearance on paper. We want to compete with the best because that's what we're trying to build here. We're trying to build something that's special that people want to be a part of, and that when people see, you know, Pendleton Heights on the schedule for, you know, girls basketball, they're like, oh, we better be ready for that matchup. So again, we're making some changes, and, you know, I talked about that holiday tournament as well. That's going to be, mm-hmm. you know, some really competitive games. We want to get out and compete and put ourselves in early February to, you know, do something that not a lot of teams get to do. So that's what we're trying to build, and that's what we're working for.
One question last year for your coach. Obviously, there's some new faces to the team with new freshmen pouring in and underclassmen as well. Who's the next girl we got to look out for this season? Maybe a freshman who might not touch the varsity's time, or maybe, you know, a sophomore getting pulled up further. Who's next for the Lady Arabians?
Yeah, so, I mean, with the current landscape of high school sports and college sports with the transfer portal, you know, we've picked up a couple transfers, both juniors and then one freshman. So Sammy Brunk, who's a homeschool kid, she's a junior. Extremely intelligent, point guard, can shoot it really well, just very poised with the ball. We're definitely excited to see what she can do and bring. Cause I mean, really might be one of the most under-recruited kids in the state of Indiana. because, you know, she was homeschooled. She hasn't been a part of, you know, the top of the top AAU programs. But I mean, just talk about a tireless worker. So we're excited to see what she can do. Grace Lee, transfer from Shenandoah, is another one, a junior, long, ultra athletic, you know, just incredible to kind of see her, you know, start to grow like a weed, from the time she's been here this summer to now. Again, another tireless worker, somebody that, you know, took a chance on us, came here, wanted to challenge herself and has met that bell every time. She has a stepsister, Justice Ellis, who's another, you know, 5'7", 5'8", long, ultra athletic, can shoot it. So, you know, just, we're excited to bring kids like that in. We finally have the youngest Dwarfel, here on board, Ellie. A lot of similarities with Casey, but Ellie's also, I'm sure she gets sick of hearing that. But Ellie's also her own person as well. I would say from kind of coming in as a freshman, she might be the most consistent shooter out of all four of the sisters. Aubrey is probably the streakiest when it comes to all of them. But a lot of similarities with Ellie and Casey. Ellie does a really good job at seeing the floor, distributing the ball, and making plays. So I think there will be a lot of times when you see her on the court this year, you'll see flashes where you're like, oh, that looks familiar. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you've probably seen Casey do that a time or two. And again, I could just go on and on. You know, Sophie Bruce, sophomore, is going to have a much, much bigger role this year. She's made great strides in the offseason. Jada McGraw is going to have a much bigger role, backing up Ada and kind of fortifying that four spot. And then I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the seniors. You know, I'm super excited to see Olivia Jones kind of spread her wings. She's, you know, kind of always taken a supporting role behind Casey. And, you know, now I think she's going to be able to kind of show some of the things that she can do. She's a stat sheet sufferer to begin with. She's always filling up the categories, but I think she's going to continue to do that and more. And then maybe Trout, you know, what I think for Mamie, she might be a kid that continues to get asked day in and day out to do things that are extremely tough. You know, she's constantly guarding people that are 4 or 5 inches taller than her, outweigh her by 20, 30, 40 pounds. And she never complains. She works hard. She always takes the challenge with yes coach, no coach. You know, again, so we're excited about it. There's even a couple other freshmen. Aaliyah Smitherman is one that we've seen great promise in. She can shoot it a little bit, drive it, competes on the defensive end. So yeah, we're excited. There's a lot of pieces this year that we're excited to kind of move around.
I know I said that was the last question, yeah, but you've given me a lot of loose ends to work with, and I'm super excited now. I didn't think about the transfer portal. Yeah. A lot of rules changed this previous year. Yeah. Do you think it's going to be difficult to compete with schools considering the transfer portal? And has it been a difficult process, like recruiting people and getting them here?
No. So, I mean, here's the deal. I think, one, it's always happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, like it's been going around for years. I think what we're going to run into now is you're going to one, coaches have to recruit your own,
mm-hmm,
you know, like it is much more like a college environment. So, you know, no longer can you just not pour into a kid and think that they're just going to continue with you and things like that. that shouldn't really be any different than what coaches should be doing anyways. But I do think that you will see, you will see some kids that may not stay 4 years, whether it's, backed up, like they've got two or three people stacked up ahead of them and they want an opportunity to play, or maybe they don't like the way they're utilized or things like that. They may choose to go somewhere else. I do like how they've built into the rule how, there is opportunities to be able to come back within that 365-day period. I understand why the IHSA did it, because if they didn't do it, what was going to go through the state house was going to be total anarchy. And that really wasn't going to be a good solution either. I think the one thing that I will say about how Mr. Smith and all of us coaches have handled this is we've made a commitment right off the bat that we're going to do it the right way. We're not going to take meetings before our kids enrolled and things like that. We are choosing to let our hard work and our program kind of speak for itself. And if somebody wants to be a part of that, we're very welcoming. I know there's probably going to be teams out there that don't do it that way. But again, like that happens at the college level as well. So, you're going to run into that. But again, I think the spirit of this, rule change was to give kids an opportunity to play. And I think kids deserve that opportunity if they're in a tough situation, either with a coach, or just, how kids are stacked up ahead of them. So, we were obviously blessed by it. I'm extremely happy to have those kids and, down the road, if people choose to come here, that's great as well. But again, it's the new landscape and you got to be able to kind of roll with the punches. There was just a survey that went out today. Yesterday about the IHSA talking about shot clock. Are you for it? Are you not for it? I strongly support it.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. I think by 2027, we're going to be, if it's not passed by then, I think there's going to be 40 of the 50 states that have it and we don't. So, and then they had also talked about bumping back the seasons a little bit further, just with how volleyball and stuff is stacked up right on top of each other. So again, I think to be a coach, you got to be able to be agile and move with the changes. And I think this is one of them.
A lot of good information, Coach. I'm really excited for the season and your season opener at home on the 8th versus Westfield. We're super excited. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Tired of boring old podcasts? Flip it around with Arabian Rundown. Our bi-weekly podcast posted every other Thursday. This isn't your typical podcast. Get ready to dive into wild conversations, fun topics, and awesome conversations with the WEEM podcast staff. Listen to Arabian Rundown anywhere you get your podcasts. Watch the video version on our YouTube at WEEM Media.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Now, Emma had a lot of interesting talks today. We talked about football with Coach Richmond, and then I got the chance to sit down with Coach Rogers of the Lady Arabian basketball team. So now let's close this thing out. We'll start with football, of course. They've got a date with Yorktown at home on John Broughton Field next Friday, the 7th. Yes. It'll be a good one.
It definitely will be a good one. It was really close last time, so I think it's going to be a really good game to watch. And so I think everyone needs to pay attention for that game.
I'm excited to see how these guys make their substitutions and really, like, when you play a team twice, things are going to be different. They don't come with the same game plan. Because the first, like Coach Richmond said, they were down 10-0 as soon as they walked off that bus. Joel Weaver, had the like got hit the best he's gotten hit by a defender all season. Absolutely blew the ball out. He was down on the ground instantly, and it was a scoop and score touchdown. Now, you know, he's gotten a lot better since that Yorktown week. He's had 3 weeks to improve since then. He had his career best game after that Yorktown game. So if that didn't light a fire under him, I don't know what did. I'm excited to see how they come to the table and, you know, try to replay their cards. And right now, currently, Yorktown's over Pendleton Heights in the state rankings, even though Pendleton Heights has beat them this season. And, man, that's got to light you up if you're Pendleton Heights.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's just going to be more motivation for the Pendleton players just to get in and win.
Yeah, currently on a 6-game win streak, looking to make it 7 with that win. But yeah, we'll move on here to cross country right now. Currently state is going to take place in about 2 to 3 hours. Pendleton Heights has 3 runners there, Connor Weflin, Zach White, and Anya Zeller. Mm-hmm. Yes. They're all the way in Terre Haute. So a little late if you wanted to go out and support them. I guess you could try to make the drive. No speeding, please. yeah, but good luck to them. And they've had a killer season all year and they're looking to shock some people. I've heard, you know, not to say that the others don't have a chance, but I've heard Anya's got a really good chance.
Anya's had a really good year this year, and I think she's going to keep making the wave and that she's making.
Yeah, only a sophomore, too. Really exciting things. Hopefully, like the Arabians, they can bring home the hardware to on, you know, come Monday. And hopefully maybe we have 2 state champions, maybe 3. I don't know how that works fully. I would think 2. And a second place winner.
Yes.
And then, yeah, girls basketball right around the corner here. Like I talked with Coach Rogers, a lot of exciting things. We'll hear from him next week, the day of that game, ahead of it on the coaches' show. We're going to keep it on Saturday until, you know, if the Arabians were to lose next week, it would be the final football coaches' show. So still on Saturday. And, you know, you'll keep posting. We'll update you when that transition happens to the typical Monday coaches show. But next week, we'll be here Friday for the game around 7 o'clock. Yeah, 7 o'clock, I believe, is kickoff. And then 6:45, our pregame show here on air. We'll be live streaming that game so you can watch on IHSAA.TV. And then the next day, we'll be right here with the coaches show, talk to Richmond. And hopefully, like I said earlier, he's got some hardware on his shoulder and the Arabians advance to play. The winner of that Yorktown-Pendleton Heights game will play the winner of Indianapolis Bishop Chatard and the Roncalli Royals. 2 people that have kind of been rumored to join the Hoosier Heritage Conference with all the transactions recently. Fun.
Yeah. That'll be very different. Yeah. Especially because they are such big schools and I feel like they definitely have good teams. So I think that's a good challenge for Pendleton Heights.
Yeah. Last thing to mention here, Delta in the past week, well, they're out of the playoffs, but they pulled out and they won't be in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. They will be for next year, but the 2027 year is their first year in a new conference. I think Eastern something conference off the top of my head. It's the one that Newcastle's going to along with LaPel and those other schools. So they will be making their exit from the Hoosier Heritage Conference. I believe they had position here for 28 to around 30 years. Kind of sad. All these teams are out now. Delta, Newcastle, and Shelbyville all exiting. But, hey, that leaves room for those teams like Roncalli, like Bishop Chatard that you heard me talk to Coach Rogers in that interview. And, you know, those are more difficult teams. Simply population. We almost have double of Delta. And you know how much better that's going to make this Arabian program in all phases if we play a Roncalli, if we play a Chatard, a Guerin Catholic. Exciting things.
Very exciting. I think with the bigger schools, bigger challenges come with that, and I think that's very helpful to grow the Pendleton Heights athletic program and continue to get better.
Bigger challenges make champions. Simple as that. And that's going to exit our show here. I've been Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Emma Todd.
And yeah, thanks for tuning in, whether you listen for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole show. We really appreciate it. Thanks to all our sponsors and contributors who make this possible. And yeah, have a great Saturday. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Stay connected with what's happening around our campus and community by tuning in to WEEM Weekly, our amazing bi-weekly podcast posted every other Wednesday. Join the WEEM podcast staff as they interview influential figures of our community, school, clubs, and more. Listen anywhere you get your podcasts and watch the vodcast on our YouTube at WEEM Media. Get the information you need by listening to WEEM Weekly.
Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.